All right, so we are in the book of Proverbs, following basically the devotional of Tim Keller's in that book study. And the topic that we're looking at for tonight is gossip. And Keller gives us a helpful definition, one that'll be workable for us. Gossip is negative information that may or may not be true. Sometimes we think, well, gossip is just information that's not true. It could actually be information that's true. It doesn't need to be shared. But it's designed to make the speaker and the hearer feel superior to the object of gossip. It tears that other person down. James 4:11 says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. And the verb slander, Keller goes on to explain, simply means to speak against. So, gossip or slander is not necessarily a false report. It's just an against report, one that undermines the listener's respect and love for the person being spoken about. So think about that. Think about the greatest command. Think about what drives our relationships with one another. And think about, here's a way of speaking that actually undermines a listener's respect and love for a person versus expanding love for a person. Proper evaluation is gentle, guarded, well-meant, and always reveals the speaker's belief that they share the frailty, humanity, and sinful nature of the one being critiqued. It always shows a profound awareness of your own sin and is never against speaking. I mean, you know, if we keep in mind the creation, fall, redemption, that anybody we're talking about is made in the image of God, that anybody we're talking about, and therefore we ought to treat that person with respect, that anyone we're talking about is fallen, is a sinner. So I'm not shocked when anybody sins. Like, why should I be shocked if you sin? Because that's part of your nature, right? And creation, fall, redemption, every person that I could be talking about needs Jesus. Whether they believed in him yet, they need Jesus to redeem them, and Jesus can restore them to their created purpose. And that governs how I treat them in every way, including how I talk about them, especially when they're not around. So tonight we're talking about gossip, and I've called it devil fire for a reason. Five things that we find, four of them in Proverbs, and then we're drawing a conclusion from the New Testament. Five things gossip does. Number one, it poisons minds. Number two, it destroys or betrays trust. It separates friends. It breeds quarrels. And ultimately, it helps Satan. Because it's totally opposite. It's the polar opposite of the way we're supposed to be using speech if we actually love God and love one another. So first, it poisons minds. Proverbs 18:8, and it's also very same words used in 26:22. The words of a whisperer, and whispers is another way of talking about a gossip. You're whispering into somebody's ear something bad about somebody else, are like delicious morsels. What happens to delicious morsels that are left in the kitchen overnight? Likely they won't make it past that hungry spell that happens about midnight or whatever. Words of a whisper are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. What is he saying? Well, gossip is like irresistible. Our human nature loves bad press. It's what the news media operate on, right? Good news doesn't sell, bad news sells. Because in our natural sinful state, we savor, and to use the words here, we gulp down gossip that's passed along to us. It's like it's wrapped in chocolate. It's almost irresistible, but it's poison, because whatever you swallow becomes part of you. It goes down into the innermost parts. And when you pass along gossip, you poison the minds and hearts of other people. You know, it's like fire. Once it's done its burning, you can't recover that burning. You've created doubt in a person's mind. You've made them question another person's integrity, or now you question the other person's integrity. It's created ill will. It's why gossip is so deadly, because it's so readily received. And so we need to use the fire extinguisher. You know, I got thinking about, well, what would extinguish gossip? What would keep me from passing it along? What would keep me from receiving it? Why would bad news about somebody no longer be attractive to me? And really, I could come up with only one answer. If I truly love a person, and you start talking bad about them, I do not find joy in that. It hurts me. It makes me angry. It makes me want to defend the person that I love. And so gossip may be one of the best tests of whether you actually love the object of that gossip or not. Because when you actually love someone else, you find no delight in hearing bad things about them. So you could very well say that love is the ultimate fire extinguisher when it comes to the devil fire of gossip. Number two, gossip betrays trust. It erodes trust. Proverbs 11:13, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. The reality is that all of us know there's plenty about us that we don't want exposed. There's plenty of bad things that if you knew all the bad things about me, I'd be terribly embarrassed. And so would you. We were talking this morning and said, what would it be like if everybody could see your thoughts up on the screen? I mean, even during a church service. I mean, what would that be like? That would be really bad, right? And yet the thoughts are there. So I could argue, well, they're true. So let's be out there. Let's be blunt. Let's just let everybody know what's actually going on. And the reality is that a person who's trustworthy knows the bad things about you, can know the bad things about you, and yet will cover that out of love for you. Will not seek to expose your weaknesses and your failings to other people. And the reality is that we all need that safe haven, don't we? I mean, if I've got a problem, and maybe it's something sinful in my life, and I've got a problem with it, I have a weakness in my life, how am I ever going to get help if I'm afraid to ever let anybody know that I'm struggling? And how can I ever let anybody know that I'm struggling if there's no one I can trust to keep that confidential and not spread it to other people? What we need in our church is this kind of safe haven, right? As brothers and sisters in Christ, we want this to be a safe place. We want it to be a secure place. We want to have a place where you can actually confess and own who you really are and what you really struggle with to a brother or sister in Christ, and know that it's safe to do that, and that brother or sister will help you, and that they won't end up exposing you to others for ridicule or destroy your reputation or shun you or cut you off or do anything that would be destructive to you. So gossip actually betrays, it erodes trust. Proverbs 20, verse 19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. So something's been shared in confidence. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler, a person that's known for having lack of self-control, where they just talk all the time. They don't have a filter as to what they're sharing, is often a person that's going to share gossip, even unintentionally. I remember some years ago, it was at a time when, as a pastor, I was trying to really tackle the amount of gossip going on in our own community and in our own church. And I remember I was talking in the hallway to one of our school teachers in our school, And as I finished the conversation and started to walk away, I realized, and this is like 2 days after I just preached on the topic, I realized that I had just shared gossip. That I had just shared something that didn't need to be shared, that created a negative spin. And thankfully, there are brothers and sisters that are close enough where we'll be in conversation, maybe in life group or somewhere else, and we'll be talking, and all of a sudden somebody will hit, their head will go sideways, and they'll go, do you really want to be sharing that? Because we all easily can share things when we're not exercising self-control that we ought not share that would actually do harm. You know, it doesn't really matter how a fire starts in terms of its destructiveness, right? I mean, some people share bad things about others intentionally. There's a sinister, satanic kind of nature to it where they're deliberately trying to do harm. But a lot of the gossip that does harm, just like fire that burns, is a fire set unintentionally, where we just haven't kept the fire under control. But it betrays trust, and that leads to something worse yet. It separates friends. It separates friends. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. So here you have people that actually love each other. And people that really love each other, they know each other's secrets, right? They know more about one another. They know the strengths and the weaknesses. And so when somebody who knows you that well betrays you, it puts the friendship in jeopardy. Because how can you keep the closeness if the closeness isn't safe any longer? And those that have been close friends can actually be turned into enemies because of the betrayal of gossip. Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Sometimes what happens is somebody that's close to us does us wrong, and it hurts so bad, and it makes us so angry that we want to strike back. And one of the best ways to strike back is to let other people know what they did. Wait till you hear what they did to me. And to spread that to others so that we do them harm in answer to the harm that they've done to us. It separates close friends. He who repeats a matter separates close friends. So what you have is really divisiveness happening. It's destroying unity. People that love each other and that are bound together with steadfast love now are being driven apart because of gossip. And I want you to put that in the context of the gospel and how the church operates. We've seen throughout the New Testament, and it's even in the Old, this appeal, this emphasis on loving unity. We saw this in the book of Philippians, in the importance for loving unity, that this is actually a display of the gospel, a God who reconciles sinners and brings them into close fellowship with him, loving unity with him, and that loving unity then spreads to people that are from all different walks of life, all kinds of backgrounds, and because of Jesus, they actually love each other. Well, here you have gossip that's actually creating the opposite effect. It's dividing people instead of bringing them together. And in fact, this kind of divisiveness is so bad that according to Titus 3 and Romans 16, it is a church discipline offense. If there is a brother spreading discord, if there is a brother spreading division and driving people apart, that brother is to be confronted. And if he doesn't repent, you actually go through the steps of church discipline with him, because of how destructive it is to what is to be the theme, the hallmark of those that actually belong to Jesus. We want to not only proclaim the gospel, we want to display it. And one of the main ways we display it is the loving unity of brothers and sisters in Christ. Number 4, gossip breeds quarrels. Proverbs 26:20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. What gossip does, what people that go around and tell bad things about other people and judge motives and all that kind of thing, what that does is it keeps ill will on a slow burn at the very least. It gins up ill will. So we can all be looking at each other and going, oh, brother, sister, we're worshiping together. We're members of Hampton Park. We're all here in the same building. We're one in the Lord. And yet, because of the gossiper, we're thinking, boy, there goes so-and-so. And you start thinking about the bad things that someone just shared about that person. I can't believe they would do that. And if that's your heart toward that brother or sister, now think about how difficult it is for you to draw close to that person. If you know those bad things about that person that have been shared with you. You know, one of the things we really work hard at when we come together for our members' meetings is to try to think through what could be causes of conflict and kind of prepare for that and inform and have enough foresight that when we meet together, even over difficult issues, that we can do it in a church of loving unity. Even work through difficult things that way. And sometimes it doesn't go that way. Most of the time it does. Most of the time it's very peaceful. Sometimes it doesn't go that way. And sometimes that happens because somebody has stumbled in the way that they handled, how we handled the process in the meeting. But more often than not, the conflict you see in a group of people, quarreling that you would see in a group of people where tempers get lost or all the kind of things that can go on, that is the fruit of what happened before the meeting. That is the fruit of the conversations that went on long before, so that we come into the room already armed, already ready to do battle royal, already ready to say our piece and to fight the enemy who ought to be our friends. And what has created that environment is actually the conversations that have led to it and the misjudging of motives and where we start looking at one another as brothers and sisters in Christ in a way that's not really accurate and that tears them down in our estimation. And that then naturally, logically leads us to the fifth point. This helps Satan. Satan is the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. He loves using words to destroy. That's the way he started right at the beginning, right? Has God said, really? God said that? Implication? Either you're crazy or God is. He can't be trusted. He really doesn't want the best for you. And Satan used words to murder the very first parents of the human race, Adam and Eve, to murder them spiritually. In Revelation 12:10, he is called the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them day and night before our God. You know who loves tearing down Christians is Satan himself. And, you know, You can pretty much tell whether a person knows it or not, who they're working for, by how they talk about brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's one of the things to remember when you get one of those emails or, you know, one of those nasty notes or someone treats you abusively verbally. Remember where that actually comes from. Not always does a person know that he or she is just a pawn of Satan, but they are doing Satan's work. In fact, Satan, that term means adversary, but the term we often see is the term devil, diabolos, and that means slanderer. And it's really interesting when Paul talks about the qualification for deacons' wives, it says one of the things they can't be is slanderers. They can't be devils. And so there's a close association with slandering other people and doing the work of Satan himself. And isn't it striking that the huge change that happens when someone's actually born again is a sanctifying of how they talk about other people. Titus 3, 1 and 2 that we looked at the beginning of the year. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Or Ephesians 4, 29 to 31, let no corrupting talk, nothing that tears down, come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace, that's favor that's not merited, to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that shouting and slander, be put away from you. Divorce it forever, along with all malice. The reality is, as easy as gossip is to engage in, and as common as it is, even among Christian communities, gossip is intrinsically worldly and un-gospel. It is doing the devil's work. It's devil fire, then, gossip is. Poisons the mind, destroys trust, separates friends, breeds quarrels, and helps Satan. And the reality is, there's not one of us that isn't guilty of it on any given week, probably. So let me ask you as we conclude, is there gossip that you need to confess before the Lord and make right with him? And are there things that you need to make right with other people? Maybe a person that you've spoken against, or maybe someone that you've talked to about another person where you need to go back and say, I should have never said that about so-and-so. That was wrong of me to reduce them in your mind. And then think positively as you think about conversations. How can you spread what builds up? Let it be gospel wildfire. Let the good stuff spread like fire, because that's what people need, and that's what we're on the planet to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and Lord, help us live in keeping with it. Lord, forgive us for the way we use our tongues like fire to do damage. And Lord, may we be those that heal with what we say rather than destroy. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.